leader, the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Out of politics for the first time since 1900, Winston Churchill waits for the call when once again he may play his part in the nation's councils. Disappointed and dejected at his poor reward after so many years of arduous service before and during the Great War, he still retains confidence in his ultimate success. The star of Winston Churchill has for the moment become hidden. But no one doubts, least of all Churchill, that it will emerge one day clear and ascendant as ever. Meantime, he finds much to occupy him at his new home, Chartwell Manor in Kent. The year is 1923.
How do I look now, Clementine? Better?
Much. Since you've been occupying yourself in the grounds, you've lost all that dejected expression.
Activity. That's vital. Once you start sitting beside a fire and going to sleep, as I did in Cannes, well, you've practically given up the ghost. Come along outside and see what I've done. I've performed miracles with some mud, water, and bricks.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Whether it's a battleship, a building, or a garden, you have to be constructive and show vision. Now look at this. A sunken lake, I'm going to call it, when it's completed. Why, it should be a sheer delight to the eye.
How neatly you've done it.
And this waterfall.
Is that really going to be a waterfall?
Well, doesn't it look like a waterfall?
Well, not yet. But I have no doubt that it will.
Oh, it will, very definitely.
You do get very muddy, though, don't you, dear?
Can't help it.
Just look at your boots.
They're clean, all right.
Well, you don't mind if you ring the doorbell when you're finished.
What on earth for?
So that I can spread newspapers over the carpets for you to walk on.
By the way, I'm going to join the bricklayers' union.
Whatever for?
Because I'm a bricklayer. And a bricklayer, any good tradesman, should join with his fellow bricklayers. It's only right.
Very well, darling. Join the union. I'm sure you'll put new life into it.
No doubt about that.
Well, you'd better get on with your waterfall before it rains. I'm expecting Randolph down for the weekend, so I'll get his room ready. I'm very busy too, you know, fixing the family.
A hiatus in the life of a great man. Enforced idleness turns Winston's thoughts to smaller, but still very important affairs. To watch him in his garden is to realize the absurdity of the legend that he is in delicate health. His early baldness, his stoop, and his occasional pallor have led strangers to prophesy a short career. But his healthy robustness and his disciplined body give the lie to this. He fells trees with the same delight and fervor as Gladstone and the ex-Kaiser. He eschews late nights, and waking early in the morning, reads the newspapers with a cigar in his mouth. He spends the days between his garden and dictating to his secretary. His is a happy household, for he can claim to yield to no man as a good father, a good husband, a good brother, and a good son. But all this peace and happiness is soon to be disturbed. The call of the political world is strong, and Winston Churchill knows that call will one day come.
Churchill, have you ever thought of coming back to the conservative side?
Why do you ask me that question, Lord Belfort?
I know you're no longer even nominally a liberal. You can't hope to do anything as independent. It occurred to me that there's a seat vacant now that might suit you very nicely.
What seat?
Abbey Division of Westminster. The sitting member, General Nicholson, has just died. The local Conservative Association will soon be choosing a candidate.
Well, you don't think they'd choose me, surely?
If you were willing, I could arrange to have your name set before them as a likely candidate.
Well, I don't know. If they want me, why don't they ask me to stand? I don't relish the thought of having my qualifications discussed and measured by a group of non-entities.
It wouldn't do any harm to have your name submitted. Then, if they want you to stand, I have to come and ask you. If you don't like the terms, you needn't accept them.
All right.
You can submit my name if you like, but I reserve the right to name my own conditions. If necessary, I'll contest the seat as a constitutionalist and try to beat the party machine on its home ground.
You'll only be beating your head against a stone wall, Churchill. But I think you'll be the official Conservative candidate. They need a man like you at this time.
But why didn't they choose you as a Conservative candidate, Winston?
Well, they wanted me to promise that if my candidacy was not approved, I wouldn't take part in the election. Well, it was to be a neat method of tying my hands.
And you wouldn't promise?
Of course not. You remember my ancient motto, Clementine? Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven? I'm going to contest the seat as a constitutionalist.
Against Captain Nicholson? But you'll never beat him if he has the party's backing.
Perhaps not, but I'll give him an awful fright. Wait till you hear who's on my committee.
Who?
Lord Roadhouse, Sir Archibald Sinclair, Commander Locker Lamson, Esmond Harmsworth, James Rankin, Sir Philip Sassoon, Sir Eric Geddes, and last, but by no means least, Lord Darling.
Lord Darling? But he's on the High Court bench.
Just retired. I'm going to take part in his first election campaign for more than a quarter of a century. Oh, and I've got a letter from Lord Balfour. But it can't be used without Mr. Baldwin's permission.
And won't Mr. Baldwin give his permission?
Not unless some other Conservative leader supports Captain Nicholson. He's afraid of splitting the party. But let one of them say a word for Nicholson, and we use Lord Balfour's letter. Most unlikely, of course, but we're hoping.
Mr. Churchill, I was most impressed by your achievement at Westminster. To oppose the official candidate and only be defeated by 43 votes is a great tribute to your personal popularity.
Thank you, Mr. Baldwin.
We need men like you just now if we're to get rid of this socialist government, which was never elected and which ought not to be in office.
I've always been willing to cooperate with the Conservative Party, Mr. Baldwin, in every respect but the tariff. I'm still a free trader.
Oh, but even a free trader might be brought to see the benefits of imperial preference.
Perhaps. A man of my views can always cooperate in those matters conducive to the interests of the country.
If the party were to officially endorse you as a liberal constitutionalist, would you be willing to take office in a Conservative government, Mr. Churchill?
Certainly.
Then I think we can come to some arrangement. I, personally, would be very glad to include you in any cabinet led by myself.
And I'd be most happy to serve under you, Mr. Baldwin. Especially in the capacity of Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Winston, whatever are you doing with that old tin box?
It belonged to my mother, darling. It contained something that I thought would never be of any use to me. Look.
Why, they're only old clothes.
Old clothes? Yes, I dare say you could describe them as that. They belong to my father.
Robes of some kind, aren't they?
The robes worn by a Chancellor of the Exchequer. The last time I saw them was over 30 years ago.
Oh, Winston, and you're going to wear them now? What a lovely thought.
How do they look?
Oh, they look wonderful, Winston. And you're just like that picture of your father, the one you're so fond of.
My father was a great man, Clementine. I've never admired anyone more. He and I were never very close, except on one or two occasions. But I think I understood him better than he understood me.
If only he could see you now.
Perhaps he can. I know that when the speaker calls, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, and I rise for the first time to speak in that capacity, the spirit of Lord Randolph Churchill won't be very far away.
Politics and great affairs has called to Winston Churchill once again, and the great adventurer, after his period of enforced idleness, is again on the threshold of great affairs. How great these affairs, even he does not realize. Forward, ever forward in his career, marches Winston Churchill, imperial leader.